What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Season 2 On Fire Podcast. My name is Sabrina, and I'm so thankful, so grateful, and super, super excited to be doing another episode for you guys. I am super excited, but also super sadness, because we are ending off, well, not really, but we are doing our last trait of this message series titled The Nine Traits of Jesus. So for those who have no idea what's going on, pretty much in this series, I will discuss Jesus' characteristics and how they can help us and develop and become a true Christian character. And this all comes from the Holy Spirit. So when we think of Jesus' characteristics, we are thinking of the Holy Spirit's would help us to be transformed spiritually. In Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Jesus allows us to escape the corruption of the world and to become partakers in Christ's nature in 2 Peter 1:8. So pretty much in this entire series, I have been covering what each and every trait of Jesus, also known as the fruit of the Spirit, is. I've done love, I've done joy, I've done an introduction on why I've been doing this. So stay tuned for the outro, where I kind of just bring a recap and a summarization to it all, and just sharing important highlighted keys for us to remember the importance of the fruit of the Spirit. And again, I will explain all that in next week's episode. Last week we got to do today has been a day. Let's just say that. Okay, just a summary. I've been with the same class, because again, I sub. So I've been with the same class for about like 2 or 3 days straight. And it has been, no, 2 days. Yes, 2 days. And it has been something. Okay, these kids are a lot, but I mean, we get through it at the end of the day. So it has been a day. But anyways, Tuesday we did gentleness, which is trait number 8. Now in this episode, we're going to be talking about self-control. This, I said last episode, this one was going to be a big one for me. Like I said, I can go 40 minutes, an hour, 2 hours if I wanted to. But for the sake of time, for the sake of my voice, I'm not sick whatsoever. I mean, I have a little stuffy nose, but like, it doesn't bother me. And my throat is not like itching or aching. Like, I can go on for days talking. Isn't that a good thing? Because I love to talk. But anyways, in this episode, I want to talk about God's self-control. What does that look like? And how we are called to live in God's control. And again, just defining and what that means. So I'm super excited for this episode. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and jump right into it. So what is self-control? A lot of us already know the term. A lot of us don't know. That's okay. We're going to break it down here. So the ability to manage emotions, impulses, behaviors, and avoid the temptation to achieve a goal. Now, I know that kind of like sounds a little bit off, but you're just avoiding all that so that you're able to achieve a goal. So the Greek word for self-control, a lot of other Bibles have temperance, I believe it's called, or discipline, like self-discipline, which is very, very important, because that self-discipline is very, very like important to me in this moment. But the Greek word means empower. Okay, so what is God's self-control? So pretty much what we're asking is, what is God empower of? How is God like the God of self-control? Like, what is, how does that look like? It shows through his heart, his words, his thoughts, his power and authority. So when we think of God's self-control, we're thinking of his power. So the power of his heart, the power of his words and his thoughts and his authority. And God also allows us to be under control and discipline, because he is now in control. It's like when you go to school, obviously, we go to school, there's rules, and there's people who like to break the rules because they're just something else. At the end of the day, I'm like thinking of 1,000 kids, and I'm like, oh my gosh, who are your parents? But anyways, I love them, God bless them, and I, at the end of the day, I really truly love them. They're the best. But anyways, so again, God is in control. When we go to school, there are rules. There are things that we have to go by. And if we break those rules, what do? We suffer the consequences. Like, at the school I'm at, if they don't listen, they do laps. Pretty much, like, during recess, you take away the recess time by them doing laps around the playground, which it's a pretty big playground. Like, you don't just go around the little slides. No, you gotta go around the whole yard. So, I had to throw a couple of those and threaten them with a bunch of those out there. And, I mean, they ended up doing laps at the end of the day, which a lot of it took a lot of their time. Anyways, so if you break those rules, there are consequences. So it's like God allows us to be, and I like the word allows, that it's not God, like a God allows it, like by his grace and mercy, we are allowed. And a lot of us like, oh, I don't want to be disciplined, I don't want to be controlled, because you're not submissive, you're not humble. and that's a different topic for another day, and I've talked about it multiple times in this entire podcast, was submissiveness and humility, which is something I had to learn like a couple months back, because I was not submissive to my, well, I was submissive to God, but I wasn't submissive to authorities above me. And if we can't be submissive to the authorities above us, like the earthly authorities, because the Bible does say we do need to submit to our earthly authorities and actually show respect, because God has placed them on that stand, even if they aren't the right person for it. At the end of the day, that's how God wanted it to happen, and there's all a time and purpose for that. And I can go more in depth about it in another episode, please let me know. But we are called to do it. If we can't be submissive to our like earthly authorities, what makes you think we can be submissive to God? Like, we can actually see this person, okay? If we, like our parents, we see our parents. And if we can't be, like, obedient to them, especially as little children, when we were little, if we can't even be obedient to a physical person, what makes you think we can't be obedient, that we could be obedient to a God? Now, I'm not saying because we can't see God, don't believe in him. But, like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, he placed physical authorities here on this earth to train us to how, on how we should be with God. Our earthly parents are, like, an example of what it's like with God. And God wants us to be obedient and submissive to him, and we are allowed to be under his control and discipline, because he is now in control. He is now in power. So that's what God's self-control is. He is just in power. And Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So God's promises demand that he is sovereign. So how does God demonstrate his self-control? What does that exactly look like? And again, through Jesus. I'm going to repeat this over and over again to click into your little big minds of yours. Jesus is the biggest example of God. Literally the spitting image of it. Literally the spitting image of God. He shows us, Jesus demonstrates self-control because he was sent to earth to carry out the Father's will. Now, there are multiple times where Jesus could have lashed out. He could have hit someone back. He could have spit on the people. He could have used in rage from madness or whatever it may have been. He could have done so many things, but he had the self-control because he had the power of God living in him, and he understood. Understanding is key. If you cannot understand or learn context, it is hard for you to engage in a conversation. Sabrina, what do you mean by that? It's like you're going at it with someone. Not that I'm saying you will, but like there are times where we, like, you know, we are being biased, we're judgmental, and we're not understanding, or we just choose not to understand just to justify our actions. But understandment is key. To be able to follow the will of God, which is something I was teaching my youth students, to be able to follow the will of God, we need to have an understanding to be able to do that. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not going to say God's going to leave you like high and dry and leave you all stranded for you not to be able to have the understandment. But he will show you what he needs to show you. Even if it's bits and pieces, he will show you according to his time, because his timing is perfect. He will show you exactly what needs to be done, or just revealing something to you so you're able to understand it, able to walk that way. And that's what I love about God, is that he, when we have questions, when we have concerns or worries, he reveals himself in some sort of way, or through people, or through dreams, or through music, or through reading his word, or whatever it may be. He reveals himself to you, and you're like, God, I get it. God, I understand why I am in this situation. He answers the questions that we have, called why. Oh, wow, that's so beautiful. We ask God why, and he answers them, and that's what he shows, and we understand. And what do? We keep moving. I told my students, okay, I was like, so-and-so, if I tell you, go downstairs, they're going to be like, why? What did I do? They're going to ask why. Or if I say, can you do this? Why? Which is a bunch these days. Is a bunch of whys. My little sister. My baby sister. I tell you, why? Why? I'm like, oh my goodness. Just do it. But, you know, self-control at the end of the day, you know, I don't want to bark or butt her head off. But that's the end of the conversation. But anyways, Jesus demonstrates the self-control because he was sent to earth to carry out the Father's will. In Luke 22:42, it says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours will be done." And it's a prayer I'm always praying, because I'm like, God, you know, just let this happen. Or God, I just pray over this. God, I just ask this. And then at the end, I'm like, you know what, God, at the end of the day, it's your will. And I just allow God to do God. Even if I'm asking for protection, or if I'm praying over something and it doesn't happen, I'm not saying prayer doesn't work or what I was doing was ineffective. At the end of the day, it's just the will the will of God, and I can't change the will of God. I can't change the direction of where it can go. Only God can change his mind at the end of the day. But what I love about him so much, because I love everything about him, what I love about him so much, he's just so constant. He's so constant. He's so consistent. He sticks to his word, and that's what a lot of kids really desire. I'm telling you, working with kids, you realize why we're called the children of God. And I was explaining that to my brother-in-law while I was on the way to a discipleship class of mine at my church. I was telling my brother-in-law, I was like, yo, being with kids, it's a different, like, your eyes are open spiritually. And I feel like the Lord really wants me to talk about this in a different series or a different episode on why we are called the children of God. If you are curious about that, please let me know. I would love to do an episode. I feel like he's been tugging on my heart to do something like that. But anyways, going back to self-control. So we know that he demonstrates the self-control through Jesus, that it pretty much means in power, that God's in power of his heart, of his words, of his thoughts. Like, all those are power, and he has that authority, and he calls us to be the same. You see, when Jesus died and resurrected, he sent to us the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit of authority, of power, of everything, that everything that Jesus was is now living within us. He said the same Spirit, the Bible says that the same Spirit that lifted up Jesus now lives in me. So why can we doubt? Why can't we doubt? Amen. So it says how God calls us to be in self-control. What does self-control of the Spirit exactly look like? I want us to read in 1 Corinthians. Now, you can read 1 Corinthians 9. I believe it starts at 22 or 23 to 27. But I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians 9, 25. So it says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. You see, Apostle Paul illustrates the self-control by showing what it produces along the way, and most importantly, in the end. And what I like about this verse is that it specifically says strict training. So strict training, you have to stick to a schedule. You have to stick to this planning. You have to stay consistent. And that's where self-control comes in. Like me, I'm wrestling with myself to get out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, because I am on a hustle. I am on a strict training and a strict diet to do better. I want to do better. I'm training myself to read the Bible every day. I literally was reading the Bible every day, and then I don't know where I fell off all of a sudden, where I just picked and choose the days I wanted to, and where I was like, oh, I'm good enough, I don't think I need to read the Bible. Oh, sweetheart, that's where I went wrong, if I'm being honest. But I've been on strict training because, again, I'm doing it to win a crown that will last forever. When you go out and preach the gospel, and I don't know too much about this, if I'm being honest, so I don't want to say wrong things, but I know that the Bible does say, and I've heard my pastors talk about it, like, that's a jewel earned in your, I think it's a jewel, yeah, a gem added into your crown because of the things that you do for God, or that you're winning souls for God, or something like that. Please don't quote me. Correct me if I'm wrong, but something like that. Like, we're going to do something that will last forever. That the Bible does say that we're not supposed to, like, store treasure up in this earth, but we are to worry the things about the ones in heaven. Not worry, but, like, to think of things that are going to happen in heaven for us. So self-control is keeping our passions and desires in check. So the things that we desire that are probably of God, are probably we need to keep it in check, because I feel like a lot of us would love to go above and beyond and do a lot of things, but it's like, how do I word it? Holy Spirit, I feel like a lot of us need to retain and have self-control so we don't burn out. There we go. I'm getting somewhere. Like, a lot of us who have a hard time saying no, or a lot of us who feel like they have to say yes, or a lot of us who think they need to do something more, or going beyond. Like, yes, above and beyond is beautiful. Generosity is beautiful, but self-control at the time, like, spending money is insane. Like, I'm trying to be a good stewardship of my money, and I really have been, and I thank the Lord for allowing me to have that gift of self-control and that gift of being a good stewardship, which I pray that everyone does the same thing. But it's like, even if it's for the good reasons and you know you're not able to, I feel like self-control is a big one, especially when greed comes in, or like me, like, now that I'm working a pretty much like a full-time job, I guess you can say, I really don't want greed or selfishness to really play in a role in my life, because I'm becoming adult, that adult stage where, you know, bills come in and you gotta help out and you gotta do this, which I'm totally fine with. But what I told my parents was, like, my stepdad and my mom was like, you just let me know how much and I'll throw it down. Because if you tell me it's whatever you can give, yeah, no, your girl, I already know myself. I already have thoughts in the back of my mind. Not that I'm letting the enemy have a hold on me, but why would I even play with that thought and just let it float? Yeah, no, I rebuked that in the name of Jesus. And I was like, you just tell me how much and I will do it. Because if I put it to my own standard, I feel like I'm going to get greedy because of how I am with the money that is coming in. So I don't want to play around with that stuff. I don't want an open door. I just want to close it, shut it, lock it, throw it away. Whoop, lost a key. Don't even know how to open it again. I don't want it. It's gone. I don't want it. So that's just my little ranting moment. But self-control is just keeping our passions and desires in check. Like, yes, my passion, I love to help. And there are times where I can go above and beyond and I can get burned out. And that's where self-control comes in, even if it's good or bad. Well, Sabrina, wouldn't it only be for bad? Yes, I feel like, yes, self-control entirely is for bad. But I want to change it into that positive attitude that self-control helps us in a positive way. As in, if it's a good thing, yes, of course, above and beyond is beautiful. It's great. It's a beautiful that you have a beautiful heart for that. But self-control is super, super important to keep us from being burnt out, to keep us in a positive mood, to keep us in a very calming, like, manner. And that's where gentleness comes into play. So a person who has self-control is mild and calm, avoids extreme behavior, and exercises self-restraint in both actions and speech. Now, I've met so many students and so many people who think they have a way with me. Like, they think they can talk the way they can talk to me. They are rude, they're ugly, and they think they can be whoever they think they can be. And I'm like, yo, you might want to change your attitude, you might want to tone it down a bit, because you don't know who I am. But then I'm like, hold a minute, God, let me humble myself, because I don't even know who I am sometimes. Let's bring it back. But it's just, we have to be careful with our words, especially in marriages or with our children or with our friends or with our relations, like boyfriend, girlfriend, with our parents, with our grandmas, with literally anyone we encounter. We have to be self-restraint with in both actions and speech. Like, literally just a couple minutes ago, I wanted to pop off. I'm not going to name why, but I would just wanted to pop off because I'm like, you know what? Just ask a simple question. Just throw a question in there and we'll see what it goes from there. But I'm just praying right now that my spirit is increasing as my flesh decreases. Because we realize it's our flesh taking over and we're not really allowing that Holy Spirit to take a good hold on us. We're not really allowing the spirit of the self-control to, we're not really receiving or accepting it or really allowing the Holy Spirit to have access in that moment. I hope that made sense. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. And I think that's so, so beautiful, because a lot of us think like, oh, God will give me what we can. Yes. Yes, he can. But there are things that he's going to throw your way. How can I say this? There are things that he's gonna throw your way because he knows you're able to handle it, because it's going to increase you, because it's going to move you in a path that where he wants you to be. So yes, God is going to give you things, and that is a promise that everything that is happening in a situation where you feel like, oh my gosh, God, like I'm pretty much dying here in this moment, I don't know what to do. Remember this verse that God is not going to give you anything that you cannot handle. And in this situation, it may look like you cannot handle it and it may seem tough, but it's going to make you tough enough to bunk out of it. Amen. So what I really love is about this verse is that when temptation comes, when those times of self-control really needs to play an important role, God is going to provide a way either way. He's not going to leave you high and dry. He's not going to leave you in the desert. He's not going to leave you in the wilderness like he did for the Israelites for a little bit. Not that he did on purpose. He did, but they needed it. There are times when we do need to be left in the wilderness because it, you know, it's a different topic. But God will provide a way at the end of the day. He provided a way for the Israelites, no matter how many times they rebelled against him, no matter how many times we rebel against him. He's going to provide a way, and I think that's so beautiful. And that's a promise, and that's a reassuring peace and hope that at the end of the day, it's God. At the end of the day, he's the only one. He's the way, the truth, and life, as it says in the book of John about Jesus. So I really, really love how this verse puts it. So when we are in situations of self-control, and we need to learn what that exactly looks like, withholding our words, withholding our actions. Like, if we want to smack a kid. No, I'm just kidding. If, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, if you are very quick with your words, like I was. Like, I was like, I'm going to have the last word. I'm going to talk my talk. I had things flowing. I was very quick with my words. It would flow in my head, and then it would just jump out of my mouth. Now, when I encounter those same people, I'm quick. It's up in my thoughts. Like, I have something ready to say. You just wait. I'm just waiting till you're done talking so I can go rapid fire on you. But now I'm like, you know what? Sabrina, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. It's not a big deal. Just ignore it and just move on. So there's times where I have to bite my tongue so many times, but I feel like it doesn't have to be with your words. I feel like it also action. So when you are biting your tongue, it needs to be with action as well. You cannot do one or the other. You have to do both. Amen. So self-control is present in the one who is strong in the strength of the Lord, having put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 to 17 is where you can find that. And if we lack this manifestation of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, we are like a car without brakes, which has great potential to damage others as well as others. In Proverbs 25:20, it says, like a city whose walls are broken through it is a person who lacks self-control. Let me repeat that. Proverbs is such a good book. I need to read it. Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control, meaning you can easily break through that. You can just easily rampage through that. And Proverbs 16:32 says, but better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. A patient person, one with self-control, who's able to think wisely, who's ever to be slow to speak and quick to listen, who is sitting in the presence of God and say, God, I need your help right now. Now, I mean, get on your knees if you have to in the middle of nowhere and just say, God, help me because I'm about to go AWOL on someone right now. But just asking God for peace and patience. Because again, if you are like a person who lacks self-control, you're just easy to get to. And that sucks to say, but you're just easy to get to from the enemy. Like the enemy can just have you at any time and throw temptations at you and whatever, but you have to be fully armored with the armor of God. Again, in Ephesians 6, 10 to 17, it elaborates on what each one is: the helmet of salvation, protecting your thoughts, protecting your mind, the breastplate of righteousness, which is protecting the organs physically, and just protecting your heart, that you have a righteous heart at the end of the day, is shielding your heart and keeping a protection, a wall of fire around that. You have the belt of truth, which you need a belt to keep everything together, don't you? You need a belt to carry your pants. So that belt of truth is the truth of the living word. It's the living God that we serve. You're carrying that with you daily. It keeps everything put together. Amen. You put on the shoes of peace. When you step on Legos before, yeah, that sucker hurts. It's literally that. You are keeping your feet protected so you won't fall and stumble. Because once you hit that Lego, ooh, it's game over. You tripping, you bleeding, you doing something at that point. So whenever you step on a rock, you have that shoes of peace to keep you balanced, to keep you going. Amen. Then you have the shield of faith. Whatever darts may be thrown at you, front, back, sideways, up, down, you're going to be guarded by the shield of faith, and that comes by your word and knowing Jesus. You have the sword of the spirit. When the enemy tries to come at you, you say, oh, psych, boom, 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 slice up that lie and replace it with truth. You use the word of God to go against your enemy, and you cannot go against the enemy if you do not know the word of God. So you cannot, how can I say, like, it's so important to pray by using the word of God. You can't just yappy 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 rabble 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 if you really don't know the word of God like that. It's good to use scripture because scripture is God breath, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. God, it is God's breath, and it is live and it is active. Amen. And just bringing it down to why it's so important to have this self-control. Self-control is a gift that frees us. It allows us to enjoy the benefits of a healthy body, rest in the security of good stewardship, and avoid a guilty conscience. And let me tell you, every time I woke up and I told God, oh, I'll read your word, I'll study, I'll work out, this and this and that, and I didn't do it, I had the most heaviest guilty conscience, but I knew it wasn't of God to really make me feel that way. It was my own self and an enemy taking advantage of that. But when we have self-control and we sh are strict in training and we are disciplining our bodies and bringing our flesh in submissiveness to the Holy Spirit, then we won't have to feel any of that. It frees us all from bondages and hindrance. You see, self-control restricts our indulgence and foolish desires, and we find the liberty to love and live as we are meant to be. And I want to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, where it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I went more than I was going to do, but that's totally fine. And to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. So self-control goes with perseverance, and then perseverance to godliness. And to bring it into conclusion, this is the mark of self-control. You see, technology in our culture make it even more difficult to control our own desires. But we know that when Christ lives in us, he gives us his control. He gives us his power that lived in Jesus and now lives in us. Self-control ends up being more like Christ control. Amen. Christ control. In 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, "For the Spirit of God has not given us the spirit of timid, but of power and love and of self-discipline." Amen. Well, that is it for today's episode. I don't want to keep you guys on too long, and I have other things to go attend to. I actually have Bible study tonight. This is a pre-recorded episode on a Wednesday night, so I don't want to go on for too long because I do need to be on time for church because I am on the worship team. But other than that, I love you all, and comment down below if you really enjoyed today's episode, what has stood out to you. If God has placed someone in your heart to share this to, go ahead and do that. Don't forget to do that because you are sharing the gospel and evangelizing and practicing the gift of evangelism. If you have any questions or any suggestions on future episodes, make sure you DM me through the Instagram platform down in the description box below. If you'd love to send in prayer requests, I have a prayer request actually. Pray for Florida. I prayed before I did this episode, and I was pleading with God for the people in Florida. So if you hear this and you pray for Florida, okay? Just plead the blood of Jesus over everyone in Florida and just pray for protection and everything like that. Whatever Holy Spirit tells you to pray about, you do what Holy Spirit tells you. Amen. But other than that, I love you all, and I can't wait to talk to you guys in next week's episode, ending off this series of The Night Trace of Jesus, which is next Tuesday. All right. Peace. Love y'all.